Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
Well, this morning when I arrived here at church, my early tasks that I do, I came back for prayer at 8:15, and I was feeling the weekend fatigue. Now, John Wampler says it's because I ate a lot of turkey that somehow or other that has something to do. Is anybody else feeling fatigued? Okay, we got past. Okay, several of you are admitting to feeling fatigued. That's what happens when you're around those family members you can't stand. It just wears you out. No, that's not. Well, I mean, it does, but we were around family that we absolutely loved, and that wears you out too. I'm going to pray over us, because I believe the Holy Spirit has put something on my heart. And the enemy can use the natural fatigue that we have to keep us from possibly receiving what God wants us to receive. Therefore, I am going to ask for a supernatural presence of God, as if you're going to get a 5-hour energy jolt supernaturally. And then when you walk out the door, it'll go away. Because God has something he wants to say, and the enemy would love for your eyelids to get a little bit droopy. Now, see, I have an advantage. I'm fatigued, but I'm going to move, and moving helps keep me awake. If my eyelid starts to droop and I am moving, we are all in trouble. Pastor Evan, come up, dismiss the service, and we'll just go home and we'll try this again next week. But I'm going to probably keep myself awake by moving, and so I just wanted to pray over us, because what I have to share today is going to minister to some of you, if not all of you. In fact, I believe that God has something for each and every person who walked in today, but in the message, there are some of you that are going to receive something, and it will make sense, and it will help you to understand a season of life that you are in. Would you bow your heads? Jesus, many of us are dealing with the fatigue of a busy weekend, time with family, maybe shopping, late nights, early mornings. But Lord, we're here. And we desire to receive from your word. So we pray that you would supernaturally help our brains and our bodies to stay focused and alert, so that you can speak to our hearts and our spirits that which you wish to speak today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. How many of you love the scripture in Jeremiah 29:11 coming up on the screen? One of my favorite, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." I don't know about you, but I have quoted that to myself on multiple occasions this year. Throughout my Christian life, I have quoted it to myself. Many of you may have it framed and on your desk or on a wall. I mean, there are keychains that have this verse on it. We as the people of God remind ourselves often that the Lord has plans, and they are plans for good and not for disaster. Plans to give us a hope and a future. I am excited, and I hope you are excited to know that God has plans for us. And I'm just going to diverge a little bit. It's all going to come back. But somebody here needs to know God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. It is his desire to bless you. And more importantly, it is his desire to advance his kingdom and his plans through you. This isn't in your note sheet, something that the Lord dropped in my heart yesterday as I was preparing. It's on the screen. You may want to write this in your notes. You need to know it is God's desire to bless you. Every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven, from the Father of lights. That's the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17. It is God's desire to bless you, But something else to be aware of, more importantly, it is his desire to advance his kingdom and his plans through you. You are not unimportant in the body of Christ. You are not unimportant. You are important. It may not seem like it, but you are important. God has plans for you and a desire to use you. And many times his plans and his desire line up with your plans and desire. Sometimes his plans and desires go a different direction, but they're still good plans and good desires. Another verse of scripture that is very important to me, I quoted this one to myself, I don't know how many times, it's Isaiah 55. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now remember, God has good thoughts for us, he has good plans for us. These are higher plans. I read many, many years ago that in the time that the psalmist, who was David who wrote this, when Isaiah wrote this prophecy, they could see approximately in the night sky 5,000 stars. That was the amount of the heavens in which they could see, and the Holy Spirit prompted Isaiah to say, as high as those heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways and my thoughts above you. But the Holy Spirit also knew that sometime in history, somebody was going to develop a way of looking beyond with a telescope. I believe it was a Galileo who created one of the first telescopes. If it's not him, it was somebody out there a long time ago that I learned in high school and have promptly forgotten. Thank you for shaking your head. Between the two of us, we think it's Galileo. The rest of you will accept it. I'm the two or three witnesses, you know, it was Galileo who invented the telescope. Well, he was able to see more stars than they could see with the naked eye. But now, of course, we don't just see stars, we see galaxies. The Hubble telescope is out there. But God knew that our generation was going to be able to see farther into the heavens than anybody was able to see during the biblical times, and God's thoughts are still higher than the heavens are above the earth, and God's ways are still higher than the heavens are above the earth. That's how high they are. And they are good ways and good thoughts and good plans for you. But sometimes, the fulfillment of his plans in your life may take you places or even cause you some disappointment that you weren't expecting. Put that next slide up. I want you, and maybe in your bulletin, because I think I, did I print this in the bulletin? I hope I did, or Christy printed it. I want you to circle the word I. Because I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Your plans are okay, and sometimes they align. But it's the plans God has for you. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future. And sometimes God's plans kind of go a little bit off from our plans, or in some cases, not all, but in some cases, they're so radically different than our plans that we're not sure what to do with that. In fact, that's what I want to talk about today. What happens when your dreams die? I've subtitled this message, and it's not in your bulletin, but it's coming up in this next. When dreams don't come true, the mysterious plans of God. I love this graphic that I grabbed on the internet of a woman who is walking on what was a bridge at one time that just seems to be disappearing and falling apart, because all of us have a life that we have thought about, a life for our children, a life for our family, a life for our marriage, a life for our career. And we've got this in front of us and we're walking on it. And then comes the day that it seems to deteriorate and fall apart in front of us. What happens when dreams don't come true? Well, sometimes they don't come true because of us, but there are times, and this is what we're going to talk about this morning. And this is as we start the stories of Christmas, we're going to see another family had dreams. Another family had hopes. Another family had desires that didn't come true in the way that they thought they were going to come true. So I just call this the mysterious plans of God. So we're going to be in Luke's gospel. Back to what we read a little bit earlier. I'm not going to read the whole passage again. But today, in this morning's a story of Christmas, we're going to look at this man named Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth. These two individuals became the parents of the man that we call John the Baptist, Or it's probably better to call him John the Baptizer. We don't know what his last name was. He was probably just referred to as John, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. We've already read the story in Luke, but I'm going to walk us through some parts of it. And I want us to start, first of all, in verses 6 and 7 of Luke. And it says this about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commands and regulations, which means that they followed the law. They did their best. They weren't perfect. Zechariah and Elizabeth were not perfect. As a matter of fact, Zechariah is not perfect. He doubts an angel, and, you know, he doesn't speak for 9 months. Some of you would like your husband not to speak for 9 months, I know, but some of you would like your husband to speak, but you think that maybe his lips were touched by an angel because he doesn't say a whole lot to you. But Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commands and regulations. It's very important because of the next line. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both, and I love the Bible, just to make sure that she wasn't just on the backside of menopause, okay? They were both very, what? Old. It's been a long time for her. Her womb has never had a child within it. Doesn't say that she miscarried a lot. It says she was not able to have children. She was unable to conceive. And now they're both very old. Many of us do not understand what this verse means, because we don't understand the suffering and the cultural shame on a woman and a man who are unable to have children. In this day and age, the passing on to an heir of your resources was very important. The amount of children that you had was, in their belief, and they were taught this, a sign of God's blessing, a sign of God's approval on your life. And when a family was unable to bear children, it was taught and it was believed that God was dissatisfied, did not approve of this family. Something was wrong. In fact, they had sinned somehow. I believe that in their younger days, Zechariah and Elizabeth probably wondered, probably pray, God, show us where we've sinned that we might repent. I'm going to assume, because it says that they were righteous and that they followed all the commands, they went to the temple and they would take a sacrifice for sin. It would be presented. The neck of the animal would be slit. The blood would have been poured out. And they probably were saying, Lord, for whatever sin it is that has caused us to be barren, that has caused Elizabeth to be barren, please forgive us, we plead with you. And every year, and every month, went by and there was no child. And as Elizabeth got a little bit older and all of her friends and other family members were having children and she was not, it emotionally must have been incredibly difficult for her. And I know when you have a brand new baby, at least I did, I'd love to hold my baby. Would you like to hold him? Would you like to hold her? Can you imagine what that must have felt like to Elizabeth when a family member or a friend said, would you like to hold little, whatever, Zebediah or I don't know. And I'm sure each time, and she was gracious, and she held this child, something ached deep within her heart. And if she and Zechariah were still young enough, I would imagine, this is me now speculating, the scripture doesn't say, but it tells us something in a few minutes, and I'll show you what it is. I would imagine that she said, God, where's mine? Because see, not only did Elizabeth not have children, but ultimately, she also didn't have grandchildren. Sherry and I are loving our grandchildren. It was great to have them for Thanksgiving. It was great that they went home. I got the vacuum out, cleaned up. We sat down. It was good. It's amazing how crackers can be spread. Ezra and cracker, cracker. And then we find them all over the place. He loves his crackers. No grandchildren. And as they became, what the Bible says, very old, their friends are now showing off their grandchildren to a lady who has never had a child. And this went on for years. But there was nothing wrong because Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes. They had not sinned, although they didn't know it. They wondered. And they prayed, and they wondered, and they prayed. You say, well, Pastor, are you sure maybe that's what Elizabeth felt like? Well, let me show you what verse 24 and 25 say in Luke. This is after the pregnancy takes place, after the encounter in the temple. It says, soon after his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months, this is what she says, how kind the Lord is, she exclaimed, he has taken away my, what's that word? What does it say? Disgrace. It wasn't just her sadness. It wasn't just her disappointment. It was her disgrace of having no children. She walked for decades feeling disgraced, feeling shame, feeling like somehow she did something, and that's why God was punishing her and Zechariah. She felt disgrace. Year after year, decade after decade, friends having children, now they're having grandchildren. She felt disgraced. And then, really, it's the unthinkable. The unthinkable happens. The wonderful and the miraculous takes place. In verse 8, it says, one day Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty, and as was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. And so Zechariah went into the temple with the task of burning incense. This was a special task. Incense was burned twice a day. It was burned in the morning and it was burned in the afternoon. Now there was about 20,000 priests and they were put into 24 divisions. And so one division would serve for a week and then they'd go back home and spend the rest of the weeks and then another time they came. Well, there were so many priests. Usually each division had around 1,000 priests. And remember, there's only the burning of incense twice a day, which means on the week that they served, there would be 14 opportunities to burn incense. 14 opportunities times 10 years is how many opportunities, math people? 140. Okay. It would have taken 100 years for each one of those individuals to possibly have burned incense once. In fact, many of them did not. So they had a lot system. And that particular day, this old man, his lot comes due. And he walks in, and he says the prayers, and he goes and he went in basically alone. It says that there was a crowd outside that was praying, waiting, and he walks in, and he begins to burn incense. It was an honor. But what he didn't know is that God had something very special planned, not only in this day, but in this particular year, because the Bible says that while he was burning incense, verse 11, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right of the incense altar. And Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear, and the angel greets him, and the angel makes one of the weirdest announcements that Zechariah ever expected to hear. First of all, he never expected to see an angel. But I would think if you see an angel, you might think, okay, the angel knows what he's talking about. And he says, Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. Zechariah is saying, okay, cool. He's probably in his 60s, 70s right now. He's probably prayed a lot of prayers. And then the prayer that is answered is one, again, speculation. He hadn't prayed in a long time. Listen, when you become so old and your wife becomes so old that children are not possible, you stop praying for children. You just stop praying for children. It's not going to happen. It hasn't happened. We've had all these years. We've had all these decades. We've tried. We prayed. For whatever reason, God has not allowed us to have children. Elizabeth cannot conceive. And then this angel says, your prayer's been answered. You're going to have a son. And he doesn't believe it. Of course, I'm not sure I would, even in the presence of an angel. I identified with Zechariah. I'm thinking, listen, do you know how old I am? And actually, what he says is, he doesn't just say how old I am. He actually says, how can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now. And then he says, and my wife, she's well along in years. Listen, angel, I don't know. She's well along in years. And the angel says, but your prayer was heard, and now God is answering your prayer. And so the angel says, hey, this is going to happen. You're not going to speak until the baby is born. Zechariah walks out and he can't speak, and they realize that there was a vision. But interesting thing, and I'm not trying to be rude, but when, look at verse 23, when Zechariah's week of service in the temple is over, listen, he's seen an angel, he can't speak. He doesn't immediately go home, he finishes his week of service. Soon afterwards, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. He had to believe enough that he and Elizabeth spent some very intimate time together. And she became pregnant. Yes, it's miraculous because of age, but it still uses all of the human tools that we are given. And she becomes pregnant. She went into seclusion for 5 months. One of the reasons was she wanted to make sure it was real. That it was, there was not going to be a miscarriage, and she just hid herself away, let herself experience this, and then, of course, after 5 months, she would definitely be visible. And then she says, he has taken away my disgrace of having no children. And now, I'm just going to kind of begin to bring this home. If your fatigue got to you and the supernatural 5-hour energy did not kick in. When dreams don't come true, God's mysterious plan, their dreams didn't come true. She did not have a child until now. Here's what I want you to hear, and then I'll draw it into some four things I want you to put down in your notes, but not yet. And this is what's hard. God allowed them to suffer without explanation. God allowed them to suffer without explanation because he had plans they knew nothing about. He allowed them not to have a child until they and everyone else resigned themselves to the fact that they would be a childless couple. His good plans for them, remember, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for your disaster. The Lord says, my ways are higher than your ways. His good plans for them, his good ways, his higher thoughts for this couple meant that they suffered disgrace for decades. They suffered disgrace for decades. His good plans, his good ways, his higher thoughts for this couple meant that they lived their lives without an heir, with an ache in their hearts, with doubt about what they had done wrong and how they offended God. And if you've ever had thoughts like this, that your dreams seem to be dying, your plans, which you thought were God plans, are not working out, and you may even wonder why God is allowing you to suffer, you can understand how this couple felt. But this is where I really want to encourage you today. It's not what they felt that's important. It's not how God worked that's important. It's how they responded in their disappointment that's important. How did they respond in their disgrace in their community and their self-doubt about where they may have sinned, what they had done to offend God? How did they respond? Because I have been pastor for a number of years, and I have been a believer, and some of this has been my own response, and some of it I've watched in other people. When our dreams don't come true, we oftentimes respond in ways that pull us away from God. A man came to me, started attending our church. He attended a couple times with his spouse, then he attended alone, and he came to me and he said, Pastor, my marriage is falling apart. I just want to get my life right with God. I just want to get my life right with God. I just want to get my life right with God. And I said, well, it was after a service that he said, hey, can you meet with me next week so we can spend a little time talking? He said, sure, Pastor, and he set up an appointment. He came to my office, and I prayed about the situation. I already knew one of the things that I was going to tell him, but I asked him very clearly. I said, my friend, if you're getting your life right with God because you expect that by getting your life right with God, your marriage is going to be okay, that's the wrong reason to get your life right with God. You need to get your life right with God. You need to give your heart to Jesus because he loves you and he died for your sins. But this isn't a bargaining game. You say, oh, Pastor, that's exactly why. I realize my life is a mess, and I realize this. I want to give my life to Jesus for this reason. And so we prayed. And I watched, but I suspected he had other desires. And his marriage did not get back together. Certainly he was part of the cause of it falling apart. His spouse was also. His marriage did not come back together. And when it was apparent that it wasn't, all of a sudden, he drifted away from God. Because his dream didn't come true. Be very careful. Be very careful. When you're following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that if your dream doesn't come true, it causes you to pull away from God. Because look at what it says about Zechariah and Elizabeth. It's back in verse 6. Remember, Zechariah and Elizabeth are very old at this point, and it says this, Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commands and regulations. In their disappointment, they did not separate. I'm not talking about in a marriage. I'm talking about separating themselves from God, separating themselves from the worship of God, the sacrificial system, the laws. They were faithful to do it even though God let them down. Their dreams of having a family didn't come true. Their pain, their disappointment, sorrow, shame, disgrace, and embarrassment didn't keep them from faithfully following Yahweh. In your notes, if you take out your bulletin, I'm going to give you three quick points. Number one, God allowed Zechariah and Elizabeth to suffer for decades because of his good plans for them. They couldn't see this. God never told them in advance. It is possible that you may be this morning here wondering where these good plans of God are for you. Well, you're right in the middle of them, very possibly. But it's not what I expected. Remember, I had you circle the word, the plans I have for you, says the Lord. His plans and his thoughts are higher than yours. His ways are higher than yours. It may be different. He still wants to bless you, and sometimes your plans and his plans are the same, but sometimes they are not. For Zechariah and Elizabeth, they wanted a son. He wanted them to have a son too, but they didn't know what it was going to cost them, and it meant that they suffered for decades. Number two this morning, how do we respond when we suffer because of God's good plan for us? When you are in the will of God, when you are in his plans, when things are going different than you thought, but to the best of your knowledge and the best of your ability, you are serving God, you are faithful, he hasn't shown you anything, and listen, most of us are certainly open enough to hear his voice for him to correct us. How do we respond when we suffer because of God's plan for us? And I'm asking you this question, how do you respond? How do I respond? There are times I have responded and I have just pulled away. I said, listen, I'm not sure I want to do this anymore. Well, I want you to take something from the Zechariah and Elizabeth playbook. They remain faithful. Number three, when we remain faithful and trusting, God will not disappoint. Now, that doesn't mean you'll necessarily get what you were praying for. They did. They got a child in their old age. But he will not disappoint, for he knows the plans he has for you. They're plans for your good. not for your disaster. They're plans to give you a hope and a future, but you may not know what they are. When we remain faithful and trusting, God will not disappoint, which means you need to stay plugged in. I'm going to put up a slide here that's got several things that we can model ourselves after Zechariah and Elizabeth. These are things that I just took from the text. Some of them are just from me. See, will you humbly follow and remain faithful when you don't understand His plans? Now, it's not easy. It is easier to pull away, to drift away, to turn away from God when we are hurt, when we are in the dark, when our prayers don't seem to be answered in the ways that we expected. It is easy to not remain faithful, but I'd like us to consider modeling ourselves after this incredible couple, which they did. They remained faithful. They remained connected. Here's one. They humbly let God be in charge of their life. Will you humbly let God be in charge of your life, even if your dream, which you thought, your life is going this way, but your dream was this way? Will you humbly let God be in charge of your life? You need to understand that He sees your pain, even if it doesn't appear that He does. Remember, He left them in the dark for decades. They had given up long before, but He had a good plan for them, a plan that was going to be revealed when they were very old. Understand that He sees your pain, even if He doesn't appear that He does. He understood Elizabeth's pain, but He said, Elizabeth, you won't understand this, but when I work miraculously, everybody is going to say, wow, oh my goodness. They were going to see something that they had never seen before. A woman like Sarah, who could not have children. 90 years old for her. I don't know how old Elizabeth was. They would have thought of her and said, this is just like Sarah. This is just like Abraham. Oh my goodness, what is God going to do with this child? And that's exactly what God wanted. If they would have had this child when they were 40, I'm thinking they had the child well over 60, maybe 70. I'm sorry, if any of you are 70, can you imagine being pregnant? Can you imagine walking into Walmart as a 70-year-old woman and going to the baby section? I mean, you're going to have everybody around. What happened? See, they think you're 35 and that you just aged or something. But this village would have known how old Elizabeth was, would have known. They would have stood back in awe that God visited them. Understand, He sees your pain, even if it doesn't appear. Also this, remember He cares, even when it doesn't seem like He cares, based on what you're currently going through. God cares for you. He says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He says, I love you with an everlasting love. God loves you. He cares about you. And then, in the midst of your disappointment, whatever that disappointment might be, maybe you hope to be married by now, or maybe you hope not to be divorced. Believe that He still has good plans for you. Good thoughts, good plans that are higher than you can even imagine. Higher than the heavens are above the earth. He has good thoughts, good plans for you. So remain faithful, remain connected. Humbly let God be in charge of your life, which brings us to point four, which is another question that I just feel I want to direct to you this morning. How well am I trusting God at this moment? How well are you trusting God at this moment? With what you're walking through, with what you're going through, some of you it may be physical, some of you it may be emotional or psychological. You are just wrestling with a whole host of emotions. God sees your pain. He still has plans for your life. There have been men of God that I have read about that in the depths of their depression, God was still using them powerfully in prayer and in the pulpit, yet when they went home, it was like God wasn't there. How well am I trusting God this morning? How well are you trusting God this morning? In your disappointment, maybe it's disgrace, whatever that might be, how well are you trusting God this morning? If your answer is not that well, then I want you to bring that to God today. I want you to be real honest and say, I'm not very humbly letting you be in charge of my life, God. I'm frustrated, I'm disappointed, I'm angry. The plans that I was pretty certain that you had for my life are not coming to pass. He's not going to reject you if you honestly say, God, I'm not trusting you very well right now. Or you might want to just say, Lord, I'm angry with you. This is not what I dreamed. This is not what I hoped. I don't know if Zechariah and Elizabeth expressed their anger. I would have. It's okay. He's not going to reject you. He loves you. And then remember, you never know what God has planned. Even if none of your dreams work out, when you see the entire plan that God has worked out in your life, as you remain faithful to Him, as you humbly let God be in charge of your life, you will be amazed. But it may take a while before you're able to see that. It may not be until you go to be in His kingdom. Or you may be one who sees it here on earth, just like Zechariah and Elizabeth. In a moment, after decades of feeling disgrace, in a moment an angel appears. And 9 months later, a woman well beyond childbearing age is holding a child in her arms. Her husband is rejoicing in the birth. The whole community is talking about the miracle, wondering what this child is, who this child could be. They thought possibly he was going to be the Messiah. We'll see as we read later in the story, as we go through Luke's gospel, that Zechariah is very clear. No, this is not the Messiah. This is the one who's coming before the Messiah, but the Messiah is coming. Who knows how your prayer might be answered? And it could be, because you decided to show up the Sunday after Thanksgiving, that God has something special planned for you today. The worship team is going to come up and they're going to lead us in an old hymn here in a moment. But as they're getting prepared and as they're getting ready, I'd like you to close your eyes. And just would like you to whisper a prayer in your heart. And just say to yourself, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me this morning? Lord, I sense in my heart that there's some that you're encouraging as they've been faithful just to keep walking the path, to stay connected, to continue to obey. But I have a sense this morning, this just popped into my mind, that there's at least one person here, and I'm not going to ask you to identify yourself, but the reason I'm saying this is God wants you to know how much He loves you, that you've actually given up. And the Lord says, no, I'm not finished with you. I'm not finished with you. I still have good plans. Reconnect, plug in. Humbly allow me to have your life. It's natural for you to give up. But I'm here to say this morning, don't give up. For I still have plans for you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Lord, for the others that are here this morning who are struggling with where their life is. They look out and they see dreams die. When they looked at that picture of the woman walking on a bridge that is deteriorating underneath her feet, that's how they feel. They feel that their life is just falling apart. It's not going where they hoped it would go, and they don't even see that there's any foundation under them. Help them to see this morning that you are their foundation under them. You love them. You believe in them. You still have good plans for them. You still think good thoughts about them. Higher than the heavens are above the earth are your ways for them, higher than they could ever imagine. Undergird them with your your strength this morning. Lord, you are a faithful God. We can go home knowing that you love us and you care for us, that your dreams for us have not died. Maybe some of ours have died, but yours have not. Your plans for us are still good. Your thoughts for us are still higher than the heavens are above the earth. And may we this morning be encouraged by this couple who for decades did not understand your good ways for them and your good plans for them, yet they stayed plugged in. And Lord, the latter part of their life was better than any of the other years. For Lord, the forerunner to Messiah, John, was born because you allowed this couple to suffer. Oh God, we don't know how the good plans you have for us are going to work out, but we humbly submit ourselves once again to you. We give you full control of our lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you are not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m., and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.